Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome to tonight's show. This is Breath of Tara on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Teresa Sixberry. Our co-host and chat room coordinator tonight is the lovely Sarah Marie, my newly awakened beautiful soul sister for 2 years now. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much. Today is April 1st, in case somebody hasn't had a incident happen yet. Just be aware of that. And I'm so excited at the synchronistic events that have been unfolding in my life, in all areas of my life, especially since committing and getting over the fear of being a Blog Talk Radio show host. I want to again thank my listeners for being able to connect to us all together in this way. And my words for you from the Rock Nation today are to follow your heart. And this is from my heart to yours. Follow your passion. Don't be moved by the ways of this world. You have worth. You might need a little bit of polishing, but you have worth. And I love you. Okay, tonight's guest is kind of like this is like part two of the last show that I did on sacred sites, and I have a very special honor to introduce David Singing Bear to you. He is of Eastern Band Cherokee and Celtic descent. Wow! He is a wisdom keeper of tribal stories, a historian, a stone interpreter, ceremonial leader, and healer and teacher. David has a very diverse background, and we've got a lot of ground to cover tonight, so I will be quiet now and let David take it away.
Hello. Take it away, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to take it to.
Well,
but
let's
thank
start.
You very much for introducing me like that.
You're welcome. Let's start with your studies, like you are on my information I got on you. So you're a Reiki master, doctor of divinity, doctor of metaphysical sciences, licensed minister, mental health, mental therapist and counselor, LLC. So can
right.
you tell us about those things, David?
Well, I think that's more physical aspect that you need to work in this world with all the certificates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that teaching really begins when you're born.
Mm-hmm.
It begins to come to you from the cosmos and stuff. I don't know. I went to different colleges and stuff. The reservation paid for me to go to college, and I started out learning how to be a therapist and things like that in the physical world. And so I worked at a mental institution for a while and learned quite a bit. And from there, I went into other things. I've always been in the metaphysics, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these titles seem large when they start putting all these words on you, because I'm one to try to always stay away from titles and stuff. But as you find, you know, when you go around the world, people want to communicate, so they want to find some type of way to relate to who you are or what you do.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And I feel that our qualities are more than that.
Yeah.
As far as who I am, I was. My mom's a full-blood Kiowa, which is Eastern Band Cherokee, or Kiowa, and my dad's an Irishman. So a lot of times my relatives say I had the best of both worlds, so to speak. And they never put anything on me as far as religious or spiritual or philosophies. They always allowed me to choose and be and learn what life brought in front of me to learn, so I could be my own spiritual being, so to speak.
That's beautiful.
And, I don't know. I've been around a lot of the medicine since I was 5 years old, because a lot of my family has done this, and it's been generations of it. And I remember my cousins and uncles would travel, and always, as they came through town where we were at in Illinois, they would always stop at the house and visit my parents and talk with me about different things. I could sit and listen to their stories anyway. And so I've been around these things for quite a while. And I don't mind talking about it. Sometimes I have a hard time talking about it and stuff, because I don't want to sound, a lot of people in this society are not really familiar with reservation and life and stuff, and you don't talk a whole lot about yourself, because you're not really trying to brag about yourself and who
exactly.
you are and what your feats are. Your actions speak for you, and that's how you know, you gain prominence, and how people became who they are and what they do is by their actions, and how you act in integrity, or how you act in impeccability, and how you, you know, besides being of service to yourself, but of service to the people too. And so with that said, I'll go ahead and talk about other things. this is really funny being on the radio.
Yeah, I appreciate your courage. I do understand the Native American protocol. I was heavily involved in tribal metaphysics and healings with combat veterans and things like that. And boy, I really got a lot of doo-doo because I was female, but I am a veteran, and I have that heart and I have that soul in me naturally. And one of the ways I was able to get healing was to face that fear of tradition. You know, people hide behind tradition because they have fear.
Right.
Yeah, and I was like, I love you, but you cannot stand in my way. This is my soul's choice. I choose to love these people. I choose to love and express in this way. And so, yeah, well, it was just difficult.
in tribal way, a lot of times our people get caught up in what I call tribal superstitions. And it keeps them stuck because actually our soul, we're here to be explorers or wokes, as our people call it, and to explore the universe and the truth of the universe and who we are and learn more of who we are. And a lot of times I have run-ins with what they call so-called traditional people, which I do respect traditions because that's what keeps the earth and our people alive. But that doesn't mean that what I do is not correct.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I've had to face that a whole lot in my life, and I've gotten past that because I had really good clan mothers who work with me, and really good grandfathers to work with me. And like I said, I started out when I was about 5 years old, being around all of these things, and I guess I was, when I about 18 or 19 years old, after Vietnam and stuff, I'd say it would be more in the 20s, I guess. I started living with my clan and learning from my clan, which our people are really true, are mystics, so to speak, you know. And I got to learn a lot about just we teach different. You learn by experience and by hanging out. Well, you know, because I would hang out with my elders and my grandpas and stuff and uncles and aunts, and I would be able to experience things by being with them. And so you could learn. And so, you know, like when I went to my one uncle and I took him tobacco so I could get into his sweat lodge, so to speak, because he had one of the last initiation sweats in North America. And I ended up, you know, just living with him and my aunt and one of my grandmas for like 2 or 3 years. Because in the course of that, you know, the first thing he told me was, hey, boy, I got some wood you can throw down the hill. And, you know, I didn't argue. I went to him with tobacco to learn things. So I started throwing wood. But in this course of 2 or 3 years, I learned about how to use water, and different ceremonies and purifications, how to use different plants. I learned where every berry bush was for 200 or 300 miles around the rest because I took one of the grandmas all the time to work with sick people. And I learned about herbs and wood and fire and how to tan hides and all kinds of other things before I even got into a sweat lodge. So, you know, it is a process like life and learning things, and it becomes a part of you. So this is my upbringing, so to speak.
Awesome. That's awesome. A lot of power in that, and a lot of power in, you know, incarnating into this life in this way at this time, so that you could learn those powerful lessons by very gentle, loving people. I mean, and some of those I know from experience, some of the things that you've learned, they were hard lessons. But you were around
right,
good
but they
soul.
Still come in a loving way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Because everything is for growth, spiritual growth. That's one of the main things our people learn. And what I find, you know, more and more people are starting to come in that direction is that to find out that, you know, everything does have a spirit base and everything starts in spirit first. And that should always be the number one mission. I mean, even though we may need material things and money and stuff to exist in this so-called prototype world, we still, everything starts in spirit first. Everything has a spirit to it. I don't care what it is. Even money has a spirit to it. Everything has a consciousness.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. And it all plays A lot of it since 2008 doesn't any longer, if the soul chooses not to participate, have a karmatic debt to it or have a... and I love what one of my guests said one day. She said that karma is not an eye for an eye, like 90% of people believe it is, you know. It is the law of cause and effect. And we cannot get away around that. We cannot. And we do have to get into ourselves and learn to relearn to love and eat and walk and talk and breathe and all of these things that we've taken for granted for so long. I mean, I had to do that. I really did. And I did have some hard teachers, but I'm very fortunate that mine were tribal teachers from a couple of different tribes. So,
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, I was told by the mental health system that I no longer have post-traumatic stress disorder. But I am very, 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 very aware of it. If I consciously choose to, I can fall back into it in a split second. You know, I live a drug-free life because I don't need that assistance anymore. And I learned to, not only are guilt and fear not my friends, but I learned to be okay with myself in the fact that even though it might take a really, really, really long time, I get new friends. You know, I get to find another meadow to play in. I get to serve myself and humanity in a bigger, brighter, more powerful way because I have had the experience of healing myself from not only that, but cancer as well. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And we're kind of talking about a couple of things here, but I want to kind of stick with where we're at, and then I'm going to jump to something else. And then, when did you notice that, maybe I'm assuming you were probably an adult when you started to notice that, I am a little more aware, and a lot of people my age maybe are not aware, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump in spiritually into life. What was your motivation?
I've always felt that.
Have you? Cool.
Yeah, I've always felt that. And what I've always learned from different, whether it was my tribe or other tribes or whatever group I work with, is that the medicine chooses you. You don't choose the medicine.
Yeah.
And we're born with certain gifts. And that's why a lot of elders in different groups watch people in a certain way to see what traits are coming out, what traits they're demonstrating. And then they know how to work with them and stuff. By the traits they demonstrate, but I've always been pretty aware because when I was 5, I told my mom, I said, well, because we lived in the suburbs at that time, because when my mom was being raised and stuff, her mom moved her away from Kentucky because our tribe's from Kentucky. They moved her to Illinois because in 1929, when my grandmother and them were growing up, it wasn't good to be a native.
Right.
And so they moved there for education and for work and things like that. But when I was 5 years old, I told my mom, I said, well, you know, when I get 18, I'm going back to the reservation. I'm going to pierce my ears and learn my ways. And she would always tell me, yeah, whatever, boy. You know, look at me. And I mean, I've always said, I've told my mom I'd go talk to her about all kinds of weird visions I would have and how energies work because I used to have, I don't know, now I see it as I'm an adult now, but I've always had guides and spirits come and talk to me and show me things. And I would have visions. And I didn't go look for visions. And, I mean, I could be sitting in a room full of people, and all of a sudden I wouldn't be there at all, and I would see all this other stuff. And it makes more sense to me now that I'm older.
Yeah.
And, and being a mystic, because Native people, if we follow our ways, we are mystics. You know?
Right.
And so I studied all kinds of religions and philosophies and belief systems so I could learn these other languages, however we think, whatever we do, or whatever our philosophy is, that's a totally different language. I mean, we may use the same words, but we have our own meanings behind what these words are. And
exactly.
So as we learn these philosophies, then we learn how to listen to the spirit of these different philosophies or different belief systems or religions or whatever you want to call them. And then you begin to find that there's a universal or a golden cord of truth that goes through all of these things, because Creator made every one of us in tribes all over the world, and we do similar ceremonies and similar healing and similar things. We just use the environment that we are born into for doing these things, because everything's part of nature. That's a universal thing.
Awesome.
And so these are the types of things I began to learn and stuff, and I learned about the energies and, you know, I mean, and how to listen to different things, elements and mineral kingdoms and things like this. And it totally makes more sense to me now that since I've been around, you know, people of Taoism and Chinese philosophers and healers and even study with a lot of them. It totally makes sense now.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know, I belong to a gold prospecting club, David. I know you and I have not got to share very much off the air yet, but I belong to a gold prospecting club, and you know, I've heard the gamut, all the opinions that the world wants to voice about that. But I connect not only to Mother, but the entire cosmos, if you will, when I'm out there. When I find a piece of gold, it definitely speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I understand now that I'm remembering the elements of the metals. I'm remembering the metal elements and stuff. And I really needed something golden in my life when I started doing this. I had come to a point in time where I had to get away because of some negative influence that happened at the res where, you know, I was known and loved and respected. And I felt like the work that I was doing with the combat vets had come to an end, and I was in a really bad relationship. And I didn't want to expose the people that I loved to that energy. And, you know, I was ashamed of myself and all this other, you know, other stuff that I had to learn that I don't need to do. I just say no. You know, I just say I love you and walk away, you know. And so in being able to connect to the earth that way, I mean, I have people in the prospecting club that have been connecting, you know, with the cosmos, but they cannot talk about it. They're afraid because they're like lawyers and judges and people of this world, you know. But yet when I get them out there, when there's nobody around, no cell phones, no nothing, you know, they open up and they tell me their dreams, they tell me their reality, they tell me their fears, you know, and sometimes I learn the hard way again to take a feather with me and take some tobacco with me and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
always.
But I do have a couple of little spots that I have entrusted the earth and the animals to watch over these little medicine pouches that I put in a baggie so it doesn't get wet and stuff. And I put it, you know, I put it out there for when I know that, you know, because the people in my club, they're very earthy. They're very non-evolved, I guess you could say, as far as the inward love goes for their self. And they're really quick to point a finger or a gun. You know what I mean? And I years ago when I was in seminary, one of my professors told me, you know, you could sell the devil a glass of ice water in the middle of the Mojave Desert, Teresa, if you really tried. And I, you know, I was like, oh no, you know, and now look where I live. I moved here 3 years ago in the middle of the Mojave Desert. In my audience, if you will, in my practical everyday life spiritually is out in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we all resonate with truth when we hear it, no matter the time, the place, or whatever. But you offer a soul, you offer a person a special ability to connect spiritually to themselves, and you have specific tools that you use. And I know,
well, everything starts from love.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's the greatest power there is, and that's what we really learn from our elders. That's why we're taught universally. We always pray for everything and everyone in the universe. And a lot of time in the work I do, and I can talk about all the different places I've studied and what I've learned and all this, But what I find out that's always worked, and the magic of it that I learned from my grandmas and from just from the universe and stuff, and my uncle used to tell me that all the time. He said it has to come, as long as it's coming from your heart and you're doing things with love, with the right intention, it's always going to work. So I always say that God works in spite of me. That's one of my favorite sayings.
I watch
phenomenal miracles happen right in front of my face, and I'm totally oblivious to it, because to me it's a matter of fact. But and I watch other people, they're all freaked out and stuff when these things happen. But the way I look at it, it's not me anyway, and I'm not taking any credit for it, so I don't even notice it's happening, because it's Creator's work. It's creation's work. And it just uses me as a hollow bone, and I've learned how to just step out of the way, and it just happens and stuff. And I feel like anyone can tap into that universal energy if they take the time to put all these things that take us away from focus and put it aside and get back into focus with what reality is and what spirit is.
Yeah.
And there is ways to work with a lot of people who get sidetracked from these things, be it from business or PTSD or whatever it might be. And it all comes around with learning how to love yourself, being in tune with yourself, being in tune with nature, because there's only three powers in the universe, and that's my own belief anyway, and that's love, forgiveness, and compassion.
Awesome. Excellent order you put those words into, definitely. Definitely.
And those are the things that I teach from, and when I do my healing work and all that, that's where it comes from. That's from that position and stuff. And it has nothing to do with personally with any tribal affiliation or anything else like that. It just has to do with universal law, because love rules the universe.
Yes.
In my opinion. I have to say it like that because some people might not believe that, but everybody has the right to believe what they want to believe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I believe in joy and happiness and love, and I'd rather be that way than, because it's easy to be grumpy and stuff, but it's hard to stay centered and in love all the time.
Yeah. Love is addicting. I love being in love with myself, my life, my opportunities, my problems. I've even learned to embrace the darkness, and a lot of people don't understand that, and they're like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to. Mm-hmm. I just had to. So David, this might sound silly, I know you're not judgmental, but some of the people listening to me, they do smudge, or they don't at all, but, they're very attracted to that smell. They've seen it done before. They're thinking, I have to go get someone to do this for me. And could you explain to us why it is important to clear the energy in our own house, in our own self, not just emotionally, but practically in an everyday sense?
Well, all these herbs and different things that come to us, they're helpers that are given to us by Creator. And that doesn't mean that we can't pray and things can't be cleared up, but we are given these guides, these plant spirit medicines as helpers. And they do help, and it helps to balance our atmosphere, it helps to clean our atmosphere, it helps to keep us in a right frame of mind. Why? Because when we take the time to do some of these things with the smudging and stuff, even if it's just for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, we've taken that time to take our attention and focus in a good way, in a way for balance, for attunement, to allow light into our life, to allow, whether we want to call it light or whatever word we want to use for it, to allow some type of balance and peace to come into our life for just those few moments while we take that time to smudge and meditate or pray or whatever we do at that moment. That is a philosophical way or a metaphysical way. That's one of the most important parts right there, because it's putting our mind and our intentions into a good spot, even if it's just for 2 or 3 minutes at a time. At least we had that 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Another
definitely.
Way, in physics, the smoke from different smells of herbs, it creates a chemical reaction in our brain, in our body, in our atmosphere.
Ooh.
And so there's another really good reason if you want to look at it scientifically.
Awesome.
Spiritually, it's allowed your spirit to connect with the cosmos and with nature, with the mineral kingdom. Everything in the universe is elemental and mineral kingdom. There can be nothing else except for that. So it allows our spirit that moment, which we are part of that elemental kingdom, so it allows us to become in contact and peace with ourselves and our relatives around us.
Yes. All right.
And,
okay. Go ahead, Em. Go ahead.
I'm going to say, and you can, the different things, the different herbs do they, that you burn, they have different meanings behind them. The most common one people use is sage. And sage is a good one because sage helps things to stay balanced in our life. And sage brings around about balance and neutrality. Everything can start out equal. So sage is a good place to start with for most people.
All right. And then they, you know, we all always are reminded of our ability to tune in or, what's the word I'm looking for? Clear, to tune in to clear ourselves. So it's an excellent tool. You know, David, if somebody was doing that and, you know, maybe they were exposed to something or they went through, you know, they saw a devastating car wreck or something and, you know, souls left the earth. What would they do? What else would they use with that, with sage?
Well,
because maybe the sage
isn't
working for them. Or...
Well, the sage would definitely help them to relax some. And I mean, that's the chemical reaction that it creates in your atmosphere when you burn sage.
Okay.
But, you know, but you can pray and meditate for people and stuff. And another tool we use a lot is tobacco. Tobacco is for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco is for prayer and it's for exchange in nature. Creator gave it to us for those things. For it is a means of pray and exchange in nature. Whether we and when we it's been changed so much because a lot of people stray away from it because of the cigarette companies and stuff. They've changed tobacco so much, you're not really becoming in contact with the spirit of tobacco in that way. Although tobacco is tobacco, can always be used for prayer, because a lot of natives, if you can't find anything else, you can take some cigarettes, break them open, take that tobacco, but and pray with it. But our DNA, we've used tobacco for 50,000 years, so it's part of our DNA.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't mean other people can't learn how to use it. But I'm just saying that's why it's so natural for our people to do this, because it comes from here. It comes from the Dominicas, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the North American chain and stuff. But tobacco was given to us by the tobacco twins for prayer, for using it in with other herbs and pipes and just to smoke and also offering and exchange in nature. You know, because we take so many things for granted in this life. When we go to get some, most people, especially if you get into corporate stuff, they don't go and ask, they just take.
Yes.
When we go into nature, we should ask permission to use these things, ask for permission, ask them to work, and offer some tobacco, because that's
yes.
what we have, is tobacco to offer and leave that tobacco. That tobacco will carry our prayer and our intention, plus it gives us that few minutes to focus and express how we feel about things, show appreciation. We need to show appreciation all the time, because this is a beautiful place we've been given. This world is a utopia. This is heaven. We don't have to look out there for it. It's right here.
Exactly.
We just have to remember that and begin to treat it that way again.
Yep. Heaven on earth. Exactly.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And we're here to celebrate and share, to learn, to grow, and to share, and to celebrate together.
Yes. So if on my last show we talked to a couple of callers and whatnot, and part of our topic was, my first show was the Dark Night of the Soul. Can you tell me how medicine has not only helped your Dark Night of the Soul, but helped you to help other people to face that and to move forward and to be the expressive, loving, you know, human representative of energy of heaven on earth? Can you do that?
Well, I guess for everybody, that's going to be an individual journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all express things different. We all face trauma different. We all face reality different. When the heavy things may come at us, we are all different in how we face it and how we deal with it. Ideally, what we were working towards coming to is, I use coyote in a lot of ways because, to me, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, when I look at people, coyote represents a dark night because they're afraid to face coyote because coyote represents our own downfallings, our own humanness.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are afraid to face their, I call it shadow self, but that part of themselves, the part that makes them uncomfortable, the part they don't want to say, oh, yes, I do these things. And even if you don't admit it to someone else, you have to admit it to yourself and
exactly.
Face your truth with open arms. And I came to this conclusion of facing your truth with open arms because it does bring you what some people may call salvation. It brings you to a reality to where you realize that the things, whatever you've done in your life in the past or brought in with you, are the things that are but making you what you are today. So you don't need to be ashamed of anything you've been or where you've come from, as long as you're always growing and using these things to learn and move forward.
Yes.
It's when we wallow in them and go into the pity part and let it devour us that it's not good. That's how I would see it being more of a dark shadow of a dark night of the soul when we allow it to devour us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think we should always face that with open arms. And I have many teachers in that, you know, physical and non-physical teachers that's what I do anyway, and that's how I see it. So, you know, we all have to learn how to face it with open arms because it is going to bring us to a better place in our life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And be happy about it.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy. A lot of people think, well, that guy's nuts, man. But
yeah, that's where the power comes from, is say, yeah, you don't think I'm okay. I didn't think I was either. I am, and you know I am.
Mm-hmm.
Be humble about it is a very empowering thing.
Exactly.
It gives us the power to not only help them, help ourselves again and again and again, as many times as we need to learn that lesson. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then we finally get into a place where we can shine our light, so to speak, or take another mm-hmm. look in the mirror, or just celebrate life. You know, just move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I gotta get a drink of water, everybody. David, can you tell us why water is important in a ceremony? Even like if you just light a candle and you put it by your bedstand. And you got a little bit of sage and it's sitting there. Why is it important to have some water in any capacity?
First Nation cleansing thing. And water represents a lot of things. It represents humility. It represents being able to find balance. It also represents being able to clear and clean our spirit. And, I mean, if you watch most elders and ceremonial people, they always offer water. There's always water close by, and if they're outside, they always offer water. And it has to do with being able to quench the spiritual thirst. And there's many other aspects, too, but there's a few, you know, I can mention a few things. But
okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of them, representing being able to quench the thirst of the spirit.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And you always give back to the earth. That's giving it to the spirits and the elementals, all your ancestors and relatives around you. Always give back to them. It sounds silly to a lot of people, but if you look at the world, a lot of people haven't been giving back like they should. And look at the balance of the world now.
Yeah.
And
we can,
no matter how little we have, we should always give back. No matter how great we have, we should always give back, and it brings a balance. That's why we get out of balance. And if you watch water, what is water, it can balance itself no matter what. It always seeks the lowest level, and no matter how crooked something can be, water will balance itself in a container. It represents balance and longevity of wearing through things. So water is good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, I like water.
Oh, I do too. It's my favorite drink, especially since I moved to the desert in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
I know water can stop us from matrixing. It can assist us in having a clear sight or line of sight into our own soul, you know, as well as if you are working with other people or things like that, but pretty much I'm just talking about a simple scale here. Well, David, I heard about you through a radio show through a friend of mine who is an author, and she was a guest on my last show, Rock Talk and Sacred Sites, and her name is Bernice Farlow, and she and you are kind of in a little joint venture in the earth plane here to bring sacred clay to people to help them, assist them on their journey on the earth. And can you tell me about that?
Well, clay's good stuff. People have used clay all over the world for thousands and thousands of years. And people forget, you know, in different areas, and they remember again. And I've been around. I've used clay now for 20, 30 years. And I've been around it. There's several different types. The type that we've been using and our joint venture together, so to speak, is what they call it. It's a bentonite clay, but it's monomerillonite clay. And then there's also bentonite, calcium bentonite, and there's sodium bentonite. And they all cleanse in different ways. The monomerillonite clay that we've been getting, according to the essays on it and stuff, it's pharmaceutical grade. And clays are really good for you in a lot of ways because they help to balance your system with minerals, with nutrients, with your endorphins. It cleans your blood. It balances your intestines. But it also cleans toxins out of your system, which is a very good thing. Toxins meaning like environmental toxins. Toxins from sprays that they use in our foods and things like that, from leads, uraniums, plutoniums. I use it with a lot of different, I've used it with all different types of people that have ulcers. I've used it with a lot of veterans coming back from the war that are full of Asian oranges or other different leads, plutoniums, uranium, different chemicals they get exposed to while they're in war and stuff. And I've used it with a lot of them, and it helped to clean them up, as well as other herbs, because I work with a lot of herbs, too. I've used a lot of herbs with quite a few different people that have helped them to clean themselves up. And when you're working with people, you know, you have to do herbs as well as to balance the body in a good way. And so, but that's what the clay is about, mainly. You can put it on the exterior, and it really does a really good facial. Or you can put it, and you can drink it also internally. It's good for different type of spider bites, brown recluse bites, things like that. But its main thing is if you have toxin in your body, the clay will help you to eliminate it. And it also puts trace minerals back into the body, which are very important also.
Mm-hmm. So would a person be required to actually be in your physical presence to learn to use these, or do you have everyday practical, you know?
They don't have to be right in my physical presence to learn how to use. They can teach themselves. It's very simple, you know. I mean, how you mix it and how you would drink it, or how you can eat it. There's all kinds of ways to take it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If people wanted to order clay, I can get clay for them also.
Okay, cool. That's what I was getting at.
I got a lot of clay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And I've been working with it for a while, and I've sent a lot of clay to a lot of people, and.
All right. So you're
we all need to eat dirt. clean dirt, though. This is
so
clean dirt.
If you guys are interested.
And some people think, you know, like when I have people come to the house and I'm working with them with clay, and I'll talk to them about drinking clay, they think it's going to taste like dirt. Oh, I don't want to drink. And I'll pour them a little cup and I'll say, drink this. And they drink and they go, wow, that don't taste bad. That tastes really good, like clay, sort of milky. And I said, well, yeah, it's not dirt, it's clay. So I'm saying that for anybody out there listening, clay does not taste like you would think dirt would taste. It tastes really good.
Cool.
And it's good for you. So,
and if you guys want to get some clay and maybe some recipes, or if you want to get in more direct contact with David, please email him at David, what is your email address? I didn't put it on my notes.
I don't have a website now, but I will have one soon. The email is bearhorse, just like the animal, bearhorse44@yahoo.com.
All right, bearhorse44@yahoo.com.
Right. And I have, you know, like people that work with me and stuff, I have clay kits I put together and I can send to them so they can, you know, start out with their drinking regimen. And we use it for facials and all types of different things. It's really good stuff. Clay is good.
Oh, awesome. Sounds very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Clay is good stuff.
All right.
We use it for all types of things.
All right. So let's talk about Angel Fire program.
Angel Fire.
Yes.
Okay. Angel Fire was a prototype program, which I think they're still going this year because they're privately funded.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting the money from grants. And it's a prototype program for PTSD vets. And it's set up to where up there. And I hope other programs are going to start up. But they have it set up to where, you know, since it's privately funded, if the vets can get themselves there, everything is paid for them, their room, their food, the counselors, all of those type of things, everything is paid for you. The program itself is pretty good because we did a lot of prototype things, like they had a horse whisperer there and trail rides and stuff they would take people on, which is really good, you know, in its own way for vets to be around that. We had acupuncturists, which is really good, doctor of oriental medicine, acupuncturists. We had people that did Reiki and massage. We had yoga, a lady that did yoga, but she did a spiritual type yoga, which was really good. And we had counselors and, you know, the other more traditional stuff going on there. And we had people who did tapping and seat arrangements and stuff like that. The only difference between this program and some other ones is that's what I was up there for, and I'm not sure who they're using this year for a traditional aspect, because we did pipe ceremonies with people to help them set intentions and stuff and do prayers. And we also did storytelling while I was there, and, you know, played the flute and different things like that, which helps to relax people and feel good about things. We also did people could come and see me in a one-on-one way also, and I did a different type of Kittawa breath work, which the breath work helps you to release emotional and mental traumas, so to speak. And what it has to do with is releasing those parts of yourself, like you were saying, facing that dark night thing, to where they can begin to love themselves and not feel guilty and blame themselves for all these things that went on during war, but begin to restore some content and love back into their life and care about themselves and their family again. And eventually we got into doing other things like calling the spirit back and things like that. And at the end of the program, we did a hand-washing ceremony, which was representative of taking off the war paint and washing the blood off of your hands for more. So it's a really good setup program because, it had the Western traditional as well as Native American traditional things blended together. So I think it makes a difference because it includes spirit in it.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It sounds beautiful. I know.
Right.
I went through a couple of the things that you just shared, and it was very foreign to me at the time, but I was so tired of hurting, and I was so tired. I was just so tired of everything, you know, and I really, really, really wanted to I wanted it to be better. I wanted it to really be real. You know, I did try to go to church and try to get married and did all those things. And I did a good job at it. I did a good job at creating businesses and stuff. But I just still felt so, there was just a part of me that it was different. And I just couldn't make it go away. And it got louder and louder and louder, you know, and all these things would happen. And, you know, and I wasn't your typical kind of woman that just burst into emotional tears and ran out of the room. You know, I would shoot holes in the wall. So, you know, it's just unacceptable behavior. It's destructive behavior. And you know, when we come home and we come to this reality, the greatest thing to learn is not only are we loved, but the war is over. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to say all that without crying.
Come up there for 7 days at a time. So it was like a week program for each group. And that's how I thought it was worked out pretty well there. And I'd like to see more programs like that going. And I'm still working with vets also, you know, if there's some around.
Yeah, they're around. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and also, I mean, I don't know if I'm talking too much or not, but if there, you know, if people are with the veterans groups or whatever trying to set programs up and they needed someone to help them with ideas or direct or show them how to set certain aspects up, I'm available for that also.
Awesome. Excellent. That's excellent. Yeah, I'm hoping my friends in San Diego start an Angel Fire program down there or something comparable. You know, something along the same frequency. That would be excellent. It would just be excellent. So let me see. I'm going to run in the chat room really fast and see if there's anybody that wants to ask a question. Okay. All right. Okay. How hard is it for a basic person to incorporate smudging and whatnot, and do they need someone to hold their hand and teach them, or should they just follow their heart?
To do what?
Just to learn to incorporate basic medicine like the water and putting sage, and you know, maybe after the boss has gone, smudge in the office real good, or.
Or even at home, all that takes is focus and dedication.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And intent.
And a little willpower. Yeah, the intent, right? And will to regiment yourself every day, saying, "Okay, I'm going to do this," and then do that.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then,
I mean, we all go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I want to say we all have things like that in our life that we have to regiment ourselves to. That we are, you know. And I know I do anyway, so I'm human too, so.
Yeah. And that would be like a good habit then. That would definitely build a good habit for that person that, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I used to have people come out here to visit, and I still have people come out here to see me for some of the healing work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget this one guy, and he writes me every now and then still, but he's a farmer from South Carolina. And I took him and his wife out, and he was a real nice man, and his wife was into metaphysical things. He wasn't necessarily, because he was a farmer. But what was great about him was it didn't matter. He loved her. So even if other people thought it was nuts, it was still his wife, and he loved her, and he'd go and do these things with her.
Oh, wow.
And he came out here, and I thought, and that's what made him so great. He had that kind of a heart. And he went to so many spots with me and her, and We did some work together, some different type of ceremonies and breath works and different things, and he even got involved in it. We, speaking of water, we even went to, I took him to this creek, and we used some of the water there for cleansing and letting go ceremonies and stuff like that. And it was really trippy because of the things that he let go of and brought into his life, and by the time we were done, it was like he didn't know how it worked, but it all seemed great to him, and something was working. And I always... And a lot of people, I get them into praying with tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And he would ask about that, and I told him, I said, it don't matter what kind of tobacco. Tobacco is tobacco when you talk to the plant spirit of it and these waves, and to get some, and you should pray every day, you know. Every morning, man, do your prayer and stuff to your crops and give thanks and stuff. And after a year or so, I got this package back from him in a letter, and he sent me this, I still got some of it hanging up here anyway. He sent me a Cherokee whistle, was one of them from back there in Carolina. And he sent me a letter, and he was so happy because he said that he'd been doing his tobacco prayers every day now for about a year. And he said he thinks it's helping his crops grow better because it seems like they're better and they're lighter and purer. He said, but even if they don't, it's been making me feel good to do this every day for a year, and he thanked me. And so, you know, so
that's,
I mean,
excellent.
There's good, yeah.
Excellent.
And so that's just from, you know, remembering to do things in dedication, whether you understood. You know, because a lot of times when I'd work with my uncles and them, I didn't have a clue of what the hell they were talking about. I just went on faith and knew this was going to work right because I had a big heart and I was happy like a happy puppy. And I'd listen to them and I'd do it. And in the doing of it, I learned a whole lot of things. But by the time we got near the end of something, then I understood, like the spirit of it explained to me why we were doing these things.
Yeah.
And if we always go for instant gratification, we miss those lessons that are incorporated in that, and we don't get to hear the power of that spirit that becomes part of us. And that's what medicine is.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think that with the people that I help, that's the number one thing, that's the number one obstacle they all have, you know, no matter how eloquent or how raw they are at expressing their soul's pain,
right,
and things like that. It is that way. And
we cannot look outside of ourselves for approval because we'll spend so
right.
much of our life looking to everybody else to approve of, whether it's our peers at work or peers at home or peers wherever you want to put a peer at.
Or our animals.
There's nothing that can approve you from the outside.
Yep.
No one
definitely.
Knows you better than yourself.
And everything we need is inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, David, let's talk about the rocks. Let's talk about the Stone Nation.
I love you, Teresa.
Oh, thank you.
All right, rocks, stones, yeah.
Stones.
Hard objects.
Yeah,
I got quite a few of them. Rocks, I got a lot of them. Relatives that come to visit all the time. And I don't know, that's just a word like everything else when people say stone interpreter, and I can tell you where they came from. But stones, I've had stones around me my whole life. I've always been drawn to them.
Mm-hmm.
So
they chose
one particular, when I was on the reservation, I was really young, then in my 20s, and we had gravity flow water, so the spring box would get leaves in it and would block up, and you'd have to go up and clean it out so the water would flow.
Uh-huh.
So it would come down the hill, gravity flow from a spring box. I don't know, some people out there might understand what I'm talking about, some might not. I don't know if they've ever been on a farm or if they're old enough anyway, but so on the way back down the hill, there was a spot you could always stop at, and had this really nice-sized rock. You could sit on it, and you could sort of dangle your feet above the creek and stuff, and sit there and relax and meditate. And then there was a rock, a big stone next to it that was humongous. I mean, it was so big. It was like the size of a 2- or 3-story apartment building. It was big. And I'm sitting there that day, and we're out there on I'm out in the middle of the woods on the res. Ain't nobody out there but us and me and this rock, and I hear this voice as clear as day. It says, "Hello," and I mean it's clear, just like we're talking right now.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised, and I stood up and I walked back so I could see the top of the rock, and it laughed at me and said, "Yes, I'm talking to you." Which, you know, I mean, I wouldn't tell people this for a while, but I don't care if people think I'm crazy or not. It said, "Yes, I'm talking to you," and so I went, "Oh, okay," you know. And in our communication, it let me know that it would sponsor me.
Ah.
It also let me know that if I misused its power,
yep,
it could find me any place I was at. And I was like, okay, and I went on with my life doing what I'm doing. And quite a few years later, I was with this guy named Jimmy D. This guy is phenomenal with stones. Anyway, and Papa Bear from South Dakota was down here. And we gave Jimmy D a ride to where his graveyard was at for his people and stuff.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to go out there and do some prayers or something. Anyway, it ain't nothing to do with our tribe. That was his tribe. So me and Papa Bear said, okay, well, we'll stay here in the truck on the road. We're not going out there. You know, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, it does. That's his tribe. It ain't got nothing to do with me, man. I ain't going out there.
Right.
You know? For sure. And anyway, so while we're standing there, I looked around by this tree and I saw this cave-like thing. And I said, hey, let's go over there and check that out. And we went over, and it was a cave big enough for two or three people to get in. And we climbed in that cave. And after we got in there, I could feel this rock could just fall and crush us at any time. And I heard his voice laugh and said, see, I told you I could find you anywhere. And this was years and years later. And just like a near-death experience, when that happened, my whole life went in front of just went broom, just like a movie in front of my eyes. And I hadn't misused my power. And it laughed at me, you know. But it was really good because I understood a whole lot about communication between minerals and trees and all this and how they communicate and how they find you. And I understood a whole another world, believe me.
Right.
And so anyway, it was a little red rock there. It gave me, told me to take that rock and it would help me and stuff. And I did. So anyway, that's how I got sponsored. And then things went on. And I had different, just one rock elder. Jimmy D brought some to me, but this one rock elder. And I always wonder why they walk weird stuff. But he came and he gave me these stones. He said, oh, yeah, I had these stones sitting in the house. I'm supposed to give them to you. And one of them, I've got it put away. It's got a little carving on the side, which I understand what it says when you look at it, because it has to do with following the truth, what the truth is.
Aww.
And what the oceans and the lakes are. It's all carved, and it's from first generation ash. And it was smooth on the top, and I had it for a long time, and I started having these really crazy dreams. And it just went on and went on and went on for a while. And then finally I realized that I was rock man, I was stone man, and that, you know, our people, we are from the earth. We are from the stones,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what they meant by the stones are the bones of our relatives and our ancestors. Completely understood all this. So when this elder came back one day, I told him this. And he said, all right, you're finally starting to get it. And then one day I was holding that rock, and the way I was holding, I held over my belly, and all this information started coming to me and stuff, and I was talking, and I realized a lot of times some of the shamans, when they would talk, or the medicine people would talk to people, they had their hands clamped across their stomach, they were, or in their bag or whatever, they were actually speaking from the mineral kingdom, and the mineral kingdom is telling them what to say.
Ah.
And so I started realizing this more and more, and this is how these things work. And I don't think it's any secret, because I believe other people know this besides myself and stuff, too. But
oh,
it was
yeah.
really something for myself to wake up to these things. And I have some of these shaman stones, and that's what I mean by stone interpreter, stone carrier. And I have some stones that have been passed to me for generations that are healing stones. And I'm learning more and more how to use them and how to work with them. And that's why I work with the way I do with what I work with and stuff. And you know, I don't claim no greatness to know any kind of great power. This is just my story and how it happened, you know. I mean,
yeah,
I was
definitely.
Sitting there minding my business, and this rock said, hey, you. You know, I'm like, hey, what the heck? You mean, you know what I mean? That's why I say the medicine truth is you have no choice in it. And we can run all we want. I tried running most of my life from all this stuff because
oh,
I didn't
I
want
hear
the
ya.
Aggravation. I didn't want the responsibility. I didn't want to be out there in front of the limelight where everybody can take a shot at you.
Yep.
You know, because a lot of times people shoot at you, don't even know you and stuff, and it's just out of petty jealousy because they got more time on their hands than they do anything else. So, oh, we'll go mess with them for a while.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of different reasons why I never wanted to do these things. I didn't pick to do this. But every time I went the other direction, my life would turn to the S word.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know if I could say that on your radio show
oh,
or not.
Oh, you can say it if you want to.
Okay, my life turned to crap.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
And when I would get back onto my path and doing what I was supposed to be doing, it balanced out somewhat. And it's getting better and better all the time. And I hope this next episode gets really balanced out well. But this is how these things come about, and I ain't got no cast of glory or fame or anything else. I'm just a mean little cook, like, you know, wee little cook, and life uses me in these ways. And
yeah.
And when his spirits come and talk to me, it ain't because I'm seeking them out and trying to find them. They say, all these people go out there chasing vision. I ain't never chasing none of this stuff, but it sure finds me.
Exactly.
And my mom and my grandma and them always say, they said, that's your gift. You're gifted like that. The spirits love you, and that's why they come to you and use you that way, because they know you have a big heart, and you'll listen, and you do what they ask. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, I guess so. And even when I try to fight it, I still end up doing that. But that's how the stone interpreter came. So I have a large stone sponsor, and that's how all this came about.
Awesome.
And I have an ability with stone. Even when I work with people now, some of the work I do, I work with certain type of crystals with them, and master wands and stuff like this. And
there's
stones and crystals are wise beings. They're first nation. They're first to ever be created in the universe before anything else. So they have all the history of the universe recorded within them.
And
they know everything
love.
That's gone on and everything that's going to happen.
Yep, and they got all the love.
That's it.
Yeah.
They're eternal. They're always the same.
That's how they, you know, my heaven on earth job that I try to get out of third and fourth dimensional stuff and stop running and stuff, you know. And about 8 years ago, I knew that I had to start working with rocks. I just knew it. People would give them to me, and I mean, the most off-the-wall people. I mean, I was in a courtroom as a witness for a friend, and the judge says, young lady, after court is over, would you please come up here? Went up there, and he gave me a crystal. He said, I want you to have this. I just looked at it, and my face about fell off, you know, and I still have that. You know, I deal with, you know, I do the Tucson Gem Show. That's my Earth job. Is I created a job where I can be used to get into a person's soul in a way that is very non-threatening to them, and that is, for me personally, that is through this bone, definitely. Yeah, but I'm very I got a real different style, style, and the rocks definitely talk to me. My first experience with rocks was in Nevada in a cave that a cougar was living in. And I, you know, had an incredible amount of fear that I was very well aware that fear was my problem at the time, and I wanted to get rid of it. And I mean, I got in this cave, and then we had some candles in there and didgeridoos and, you know, little hand drums. We all had our little drums and stuff, and I'm like, oh, no, I don't have room for my drum. What do I do? So I'm laying on my stomach, and the only place, or on my back, over the back of this rock, and the only place for my drum was on my stomach. And, boy, did that vibration wake me up. And I was mortified of bats at the time. I mean, really, literally, my breath would stop, and I'd pass out just from a little bat. And I didn't understand that the bat was all about rebirth, you know. I didn't understand that we really are reborn. Every time we give up a fear, we earn the right to exist in our own being and in our own space, in our own time, freely, and in a very powerful, profound, and loving way. And I looked up at the ceiling that I wedged myself down in between these rocks. One was the floor, one was the ceiling. And I got in there, and I got my drum, and started playing. And all of a sudden, I felt something right in the center of my forehead. I looked up, and there was a real bat there, and it was asleep. And the medicine person that was with us said, don't you put no fear on that creature. It never did anything to you. So I just kind of had to ad lib, at that point I was able to just instinctively know, I don't have to be afraid. It's not going to hurt me, and I'm not going to hurt it. So
yeah, but that's a good around case when you're doing things.
Yeah, well, they didn't tell me that.
Because we used to do release ceremonies in caves, and the bats would come out and start flying around. And all the grandmas would tell us that all the toxins that we're releasing etherically, that the bats were coming out, and they were cleaning it all up.
Oh, cool. Well, I never heard that before. That
yeah, so they represent a whole lot to do with transformation and rebirth and stuff. So when we go to these caves and do stuff, all the bats would come out. They were saying, all the grandmas were happy. They were like, all right, you're letting go of a lot of stuff. All them bats are out there clearing, changing it and clearing it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
So it's considered a rebirth animal. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, well, David, can you share with us one of your favorite stories from any time in your life? Tradition of your tribe. And now, you know, that can be Celtic too, you know. So everybody pay attention.
I don't know, favorite stories.
Favorite legend that helped you, you know, that helped you.
Oh, we got a lot of different creation stories and stuff that help a lot. I don't know. I like all the stories.
I know. Well, what's one that, you know, considering the whole flow of the show here, what's one that you think that, you know, someone that we don't personally know, but maybe they need to hear right now? Because pretty much we're talking about following your own heart and that you do have worth and that everything is significant. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot, now you got me stumped. Tell a story.
All right.
Huh.
That's okay. Let me see if I think Sarah Marie might have had a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
So, yeah, let me see. Hey, Sarah, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, thanks for putting me on the spot yet again. Yes, David. How do we implement the program Angel Fire? And please tell us more about the program. You seem to be
like,
passionate about that.
Wow, well, seem to be what?
The Angel Fire program.
Yeah, how do you implement one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do we find one? How do we implement it?
Oh, there's several trying to get started right now and stuff. I've been trying to get one going and stuff. You can find them on websites. That's where the Angel Fire one was at. People would find the website and stuff about different VA programs. I know they definitely need some in Arizona.
Oh, yes, we do.
Real bad, you know.
And
I wasn't quite sure how to. Well, I've been trying to get another clinic situation like that started. I had some clinics before, but I wasn't quite sure of how to go about it with the VA yet for doing something like that.
You could get a hold of Yvonne Garcia. She's a Native American rep for combat vets down at the Southern Arizona VA in Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'd work with other people to do stuff like that. Angel Fire is a good place. It's in New Mexico. So, I mean, but they get vets from all over the world and stuff. If enough of us could get together and start talking and networking, we could start some programs.
Oh, cool.
I know that for a fact because I have counselors and different doctors and different prototype-type people that are willing to work with me if I get a program going or if someone I knew had a program going.
So we could check at our local VA, like in the city that we live in, then, David?
So you check out with the VAs is what I was told, and they can tell you what programs are available there in your area.
Awesome.
And they can also give you information on how to start programs.
Okay.
But I do know that there's a lack of programs right now. Because the only ones I know about is the one, Angel Fire, and there's one in... And there's a couple of them back in the Carolinas. And those are the only ones I really know about. There's one in Florida, which is the Wounded Warriors program, the one that's coming out of Florida.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's about all I know about those things.
Awesome.
Well, that's because I worked in all of it in a medicinal way, you know, because I work with people in clinical ways, so I don't get a whole lot into the office part of it, a setting, you know what I mean, and things like that. That's why I guess I don't get advertised enough, because I don't really have an office-type mind of how to do all those type of things, but I have the type of mind to work with metaphysical and spiritual things.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how I end up in places like Angel Fire and other groups doing stuff like that, because they would talk to someone, and then they'll say, oh, yeah, call this guy, and three or four people in a row would tell them, oh, yeah, call this guy, he's pretty good at this. And so that's how I found out myself and a lot of other people that were there working. That's how they ended up there, is because they had a good reputation.
Awesome.
Yes, awesome.
So if that helps any.
Oh, it does. It does. Okay, I do have another question. Teresa, do I have permission to ask?
Oh, yeah, we have 49 minutes and 20 seconds left.
Okay, well, I can talk 20 seconds.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
You had mentioned something about sage and
about
clearing the energy.
About sage?
Yes.
Sage balances and brings things to a balance.
Okay.
It neutralizes and makes things where they're equal. I've watched people come in the house before. I mean, one particular time, especially one of my relatives' trailer we were sitting in, and this man came in and he had some incident on the road with other people, and it had him very angry. And he came in the trailer and he was, ah, rah, 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 rah. And I watched John, my brother-in-law, he lit some sage, and he didn't say a word. He just sat there and just kept waving the sage, and we watched this guy go from irate to just calm within a few minutes.
Wow.
And just brought everything to a balance. And he was like, all right, I feel a whole lot better. And a lot of people would say, oh, it's because of the venting and stuff. But he didn't vent that much. It was because of the effect of the sage in his atmosphere.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so you're a big advocate of that. Okay.
Yeah, sage is good stuff. Although our people now, we use sweetgrass and cedar. Because we like that western red cedar and stuff and sweetgrass. But although I do know how to use other different plants and plant spirits and stuff, because I've made it a point to study a lot of that and learn about it. And I spend most of my life learning a lot of this stuff because that's what I was drawn to do. and so I know a lot. And plus I work with a lot of different herbs too, because most of my family is herbalist. You know,
awesome.
We make a lot of our own smoke mixtures. We make our own steam mixtures. We make our own powders to take. We make our own tinctures, all types of things. And some of our mixtures are smoke mixtures, like you would burn sage and use it, and it helps to get you well.
Okay. All right.
Am I staying on track? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Awesome. Is sage the only thing to bring us back to what we're supposed to be doing, or like you
well,
said?
Well, it depends on what it brings. Sage brings things to a balance, makes everything equal, and it depends on what type of sage you're using for what effect you're going to get. There's 147 different types of sage or plants that are in the sage family, and they all will bring about a different effect, although they all are good for a type of smudging, but they all have a different effect in the atmosphere according to their smell, their DNA makeup, our chemical makeup, things like that.
Awesome. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
But the one of the best types that a lot of people use for what I was talking about is the white silver sage that comes out of California. That's what most people are common with. With burning, they don't even realize the other sages that you can use besides cooking sage. But you can smudge with that also.
We do have another caller, David.
Oh,
you feel like taking a call, David?
Okay.
All right, hold on. Hello, 805.
Yes, this is...
Hello?
Hello?
Bernice? A question for David?
Yes, from Sweet Madam Barlow.
From Sweet Madam Barlow. There you are. You were like all staticky. Okay, take it away.
When you get a gap in time, keep talking about because it's all good. But ask David a little bit about Australia. He's got some neat stuff about that.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, of course you do. You know a lot about a lot of things, but your stuff from Senator, and that was my and my.
Stay away from Maniac at feeding time.
Hey, you know what? You know, I'm just going to feed him one more time before I go to bed. So, it's a really good show. I'm really loving this tonight. So,
Maniac's a crocodile.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't want to take up your time, but if you can fit some of that in, Teresa, I'd sure like to hear about it.
All righty, we'll do that. And congrats okay. on your little seminar thing today.
Oh,
I'll
give
you a call.
We did good. We did good. But tonight, this is about Dave, so I'm going to hang up now and keep listening because I'm loving it, okay?
All righty. All right, cool.
Okay, bye.
Oh, what a joy. What a joy. That was excellent. Okay, take it away, Dave. She's spoke the words.
Just spoke the word, huh?
Spoke the words. Talk about Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going on another journey.
All right. Now I'm scared.
Oh, no. I know she's listening.
I don't know what to say about Australia. It's a nice, it's a beautiful continent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I know she was breaking up really bad, so I didn't get to hear her question, but she said something about the medicine of Australia.
Uh-huh. Well, the Aboriginals have some powerful medicine over there. Still, they still work with their dream time. Which over here we call it spirit world. Over there they call it dream time, but it's all interdimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all interdimensional travels, and they're well aware of their plant spirit medicines and their rock spirits and the spirit of their land. The Aboriginals are. They work very well in dream time. And I learned a lot, you know, I learned that from experience over there with different, being around different Aboriginals and stuff. But I don't know, Australia is a place you have to experience. to learn about it more than, I mean, people can tell you and talk about it and stuff, but Australia has its own experiences. It's definitely a dimensional place. It has its own, it's a powerful place. And you're talking about Stone Nation stuff. There's some powerful Stone Nation stuff there also.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of my favorite rocks for when I'm helping another person to face their emotions is the opal. And I mean,
uh-huh.
It is a powerful, powerful stone. And there was so much, well, I'm going to use that magic word now, crap about opals when I first start working with them about 6 years ago that, you know, and I just talked to them. I'm like, how come you're so pretty? And you know, and when I'm altering it, I'm taking all that outer layer off the top so that the beauty of the stone can reflect the light of its creator. It comes to me what I need to know about this person that I'm working with. And I mean, it is, and sometimes it is audible, you know, sometimes it really is. And I know that I've had similar opals, like from America, Nevada, you know, other countries, Egypt, Ethiopia, Mexico, and places like that. But they're not able to assist me to assist that soul in the way that the opal stone from Australia is. And I have a deep respect for that stone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Yeah, it's a fragile but strong stone, and it has the
mm-hmm.
harmonics of a crystal on top of all the beautiful colors and
mm-hmm.
feelings.
Well,
that
it is a crystal.
So,
it's crystallized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a witness to that power in a very, very small way. I have not been fortunate enough to go to that country yet, but
mm-hmm.
I do want to go. I definitely want to go. So.
Oh yeah, it's a magical place. It's very strong and magical. Mm-hmm. You can go places and have some meditations that are, you can go pretty far out there. You know.
Do you?
Yeah.
You've been there.
I think
then.
There's places like this, huh? Oh, I've been there a couple of times.
Okay. All right.
Mhm. Yeah, I believe in that. I believe there's places here you can go out pretty far too.
Oh yeah,
our
definitely.
Mhm. Yeah.
Definitely.
And I believe that they all have their own place and their own balance.
Yeah, the trick is to quiet the mind and enjoy that so that it can integrate, imprint on our soul so that we get to really, truly know where to go. You know, on my last show with Bernice, we talked about sacred sites and how, you know, how it'll imprint to you. And so, like, if you're having a lot of dreams and you just want some quiet so you can, you know, so that you can think your way through it and feel your way through it and interpret it and then get confirmation on all that stuff, however it is that particular person does it, that you know, you don't really want to go to a dream site. You know, you might want to go somewhere where there's balance or, you know, something a little more supportive of whatever you choose. And so that it is important to understand this planet that we live on. We all volunteer to come here, especially for this time, and that it is very, very important to be selective and hear well and keep a balance through the plant and the animal and the mineral and the stone kingdoms, if you will, the nations. So, I mean, that's pretty much me, but yeah. This is whole show has awakened some good things in me, David.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm feeling all guilty. I've had my buffalo drum up in the closet for 3 years, and I'm like sitting here rubbing my belly going, maybe I better get that drum
out.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and I know Sarah just got blessed by a person. A long distance blessing, and bought a little medicine bag in the snail mail. People
actually use
the mail. So yeah, she got a turtle. I think it's turtle, right, Sarah?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Turtle shell bag. Yeah, you told me it was a medicine bag.
Yeah. And then she's like wondering what medicine goes in there.
Oh, I don't know. It's a personal thing. It's her bag.
Yeah.
I might put a little to instruct them on how to put some cedar and tobacco and sage and a little cornmeal in it, and then whatever their own personal objects are. Because it's for their own personal power. And you don't go around and show everybody what's in your bag, because that's your personal power.
Mm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But I generally take some cedar and tobacco and a little sage and some cornmeal and do a little prayer with it, and I'll blow on it, the Creator's breath. And when you put that breath on it, it makes you and that prayer is one, and the object's one, and tobacco one, and also it makes it familiar with your spirit and what you need.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kind of things I believe anyway, and I work with. I make a lot of different objects and stuff at people sometimes. So.
No,
anyway,
cool.
I hope this is helping everyone.
Oh, it will. It definitely will. It's definitely helping.
So what else did we talk about?
Well, I don't know. We got 35 minutes.
35 minutes.
All right. Let's see. Let's see.
Well, the type of work that I do now, if you want to hear about that, is I work with the channels of the body, what they call meridians.
Okay, yes.
And I work a lot with that. And you can use, there's three different forms. You can use acupuncture, which is using needles to open meridians and chi flow. Or you can use what they call acupressure, and that's using the fingers of the hands and touching these points, or you can use a crystal flow, and I use the crystal flow, being Cherokee, that's what our people have used for thousands of years. So I use the crystals on a specific meridian to help to establish a chi flow and bring a relief of stress and things from the body, and then the body begins self-healing. Well, it's capable of that, it's aware of that, just like with crystal, you don't have to program them all the time. You can just, like you were saying, you look at them and say, oh, look how pretty you are and beautiful. Because
yeah,
crystals and stones, they know what to do already. They're helpers. And all we have to do is just let them be themselves and ask them to help. And they will. And so I have specific channels that I work with on the body that helps to relieve stress, to bring in chi flow and allow the body to balance itself. And that's the type of stuff that I do now, and I work with the herbs and stuff as well to give the body minerals and different things to work with so it can rebuild itself.
Awesome. And then you use the clay with that too, right? And that
clay helps. I recommend clay for just about everybody I meet to drink it for a while anyway to help clean. Because whether we're around a lot of it or not, we're still going to have so many toxins in our body just from daily life and the air we breathe and the plants we eat and the foods we eat. We're going to have that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so the clay is very good for helping to cleanse the body of things that no longer serve us, so to speak.
Right. And then so they just have to email you and then get clay too. Clay and recipes and...
Mm-hmm, all kind, yeah.
And any yes, other ma'am. Kind of help, any other kind of help that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Let me feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do a lot of meditation. I do sound healing also. I work with tuning forks and I work with bowls. And I do Native American mantras, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
With the crystal bowls.
Excellent.
I believe it brings a balance into the body, and I believe sound and meditation helps to bring a large balance into the body and help to relieve stress. And I believe that about 90-95% of the diseases we get in life come from stress, because we're not built for the type of stresses that we allow ourselves to go through.
Exactly.
I believe the more we can be relaxed and enjoy things, the better off we are. Yeah, that's why I have a hard time sometimes. Because I get in such a state because I do that of not thinking and just being.
Yeah.
And then it's like even with the program here, you say, well, we have 39 minutes left. And I'm like, okay, what do I talk about now? Because I'm so used to just being.
Yes.
And things just happen around me, and I just flow with it, that it's hard for me to think up things. So. And
that's
I wish
okay.
more people could understand that and be
You're
that
not
way.
The only
you know?
One.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you understand. That's great. And I hope a lot of the listeners out there understand it and helps them that if they're following that track of just being, then they're doing very well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And if they feel, you know, listeners, if you, after that last comment, and if you really feel that at this time and stage and you're volunteering to be here on this planet at this time, that you still need something else, you're welcome to write to the show or email me at breathofterror@gmail.com and or David at bearhorse44@yahoo.com and or connect with me on Facebook, however you feel impressed to do it, and we'll see what can be done for you further. But I would just encourage you to go inside yourself, you know, be like the bear that says, oh, I'm done with this for a while. And he just goes in his cave and he just instinctively knows it's time to go to sleep, you know. And he just goes to sleep for a while. And when you're in the cave of the West, when you're in that bear-like meditative state, just you'll just instinctively know what to do when you come out of that, you know.
Right.
And don't forget to eat. You know, don't be aggressive about eating, but, you know, by God's, you know, for God's sake, feed yourself. It's important. You can't stay out in spirit, quote unquote. Your body needs help. Your body has to be in the here and now. You've got to eat. You've got to have water. And you need things like the clay and the herbs and this and that to help you. And for some of us, that will stop a lot of onslaught that's coming from the other side that, you know, we are all very well aware it's there. We just, you know, try to act like it's not there. It's not there. And it's, you know, as long as I jump in bed instead of putting my feet next to the underneath, then it won't get me. Well, you know, we got to use common sense. So, yeah.
Well, we don't take care of ourselves like we should.
Yeah.
And that's because we don't care about ourselves and aren't loving ourselves enough. So we don't feel like we deserve it, and we do deserve it. To be taken care of and nurtured. And we deserve these things. One of my masters and mentors that worked with me said that that we're here to learn to grow and to share, and we're here to learn how to love ourselves and accept love and forgive and accept forgiveness and to show compassion and to just be. And he said that if you can accomplish that in this lifetime and that's all you accomplish, that you've accomplished a great feat.
Yes.
So in this modern hustle-bustle world that we're in, it's sometimes it gets rough to be able to do that. But that's the ultimate goal, is to just be and learn how to love ourselves and share that. And I really believe that.
Oh, yeah.
Really, you know I'm laughing. I really do, man. I believe that a lot. And it's been with me through all my teachings and a lot of, you know, when I pour lodges, the same compassion comes through it. When I do whatever I'm doing, you know, I feel the same way about it. And even when I'm working with people and stuff, like I said, Creator, the Spirit, God works in spite of me because I'll start working with people and my guides will tell me what to do. But it's really trippy because, like, I see little lights on their body that shows me to follow these meridians and just all types of things. It's almost like a comic book, the way things talk to me and show me stuff. But it blows my mind at the end because it works.
Amen.
It works, and it helps people. So who am I to argue with it, you know?
Exactly.
And I believe that more of us need to start following our intuition in those ways and just being. And you guys out there, get in touch with your emotions and quit being afraid to cry and show and be who you are and talk about it. Because a lot of times when we're doing things, whether I'm teaching classes or doing ceremonies, there's always a lot of women there and just a few guys. And that's because most of the guys are taught into this other physical thing. We're not supposed to be that. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be tough. But that has nothing to do with it. We can still be directive and be in touch with our spirit also, because the more we're in touch with our spirit and heart, the better we will be at being directive. So, there.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It is my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding. So, yeah, that was a beautiful piece of advice, David. definitely. I know I'm going to shift the focus a little bit. Years and years and years ago, when I first moved in 99 to 1999, I'd been 97 and 98 down in Nevada with Bernice, and then I moved down, you know, Northern Tri-State didn't quite know what to do with me, so they said, okay, stand here and do this and do that, and here's some gas money, go move yourself down there and study, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So, because there are specialties, you know, there are people that are specialists in what they do, and so I had to go see specialists. So I came down here, and I kept having this horrible dream. I mean, it was just horrid. And I finally agreed, you know, because they tried to sweat it out of me and everything else. And I mean, it was having a tremendous effect on me, and I was losing sleep and losing weight, and, you know, I just couldn't maintain. And in this dream, I kept seeing soldiers everywhere, all over, everywhere, in the hills, in the mountains, in the rivers, in the ocean, all over. And they were so sad, and they were so contrary, okay? And in this dream, the last time I had it, I said, okay, that's enough, I get it. And I went and talked to the dream ladies, you know, the dream grandmothers, and I told them what happened, and they said, it's a sign of things to come, and don't speak about this anymore. You just watch and you wait. And a couple years later after that, we had 9/11, and there was such a huge inflow of females into the United States military. And in my dream, the only people I told about the dream that the soldiers that I saw were women was the dream ladies, because something in me said, don't say nothing. And that's an example. That is an example of paying attention to your earth intuition and your dream intuition at the same time. And I'm very grateful that I had that. And just recently, after a few years of a respite, if you will, of having a time off and getting to run and play on Mother and go get gold and get new rocks, and, you know, and then just now getting back to work last year, I've been able to meet some combat female veterans and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they didn't just come into my life because I was at the VFW or the park. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're and we're in each other's blessed presence for a reason. And a few of them have reached out and asked me for help, and I did refer them to Angel Fire, you know, and their sentiment is, why can't we have one here? So I got to honor those ladies that served in the way of not just being a veteran, but a combat veteran. And it's very sad that humanity had to evolve in this way so that we can wake up. But I don't want to get into that because I got strong feelings about that.
Well, I worked with a lot of that stuff with the vets, and I worked with a lot of PTSD people,
yeah.
And I worked with clinics, and I worked, you know, with in the herbal capacity and all that, because it goes hand in hand. We could only do so much of it in Angel Fire, although it's a good program. The people would only be there for a week, but I mean, if you're talking about, you know, people wanting to set up. If I can be of any aid or help to whoever wants to set these programs up, just have them get in contact with me, and I'll be glad to work with them or show them how to do things, give them advice, show them how to set up clinics, train people in doing different things or whatever needs to be done.
All right. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah.
Because I definitely like working with the vets, and I think it's a worthwhile thing, and it's very fulfilling in both aspects, for the vet and for the person helping.
Yes, definitely, yes. Definitely. The law of reciprocity works solidly, so those of you who resonate with those words, you know, I know you're feeling me and you're feeling the show, and, you know, we'd love to help. We would love to help in any kind of way that we can, so don't think that you're not worthy to help. If you're feeling what we're saying, then you're supposed to help. So have a little self-esteem, step forward, just do it. It doesn't matter what mainstream says anymore. My God, we're so so past all of that. Yeah,
I liked working with the vets a lot, you know, when I'd watch them change right in front of me, because a lot of times, I mean, I've heard some horrific stories from different vets I've worked with, because we worked with vets from World War II all the way up to present day.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, I've had them go through all, like I said, with the type of breath work that I do with the people, which involves the breath work as well as plant spirit medicine with it also.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to... It helps people to let go of emotional and mental traumas that's locked in their atmosphere, and you know, when it's presented in the right way, after a few days of talking with counselors and stuff, and they come, and it's really easy to help them to let go of this stuff through the breath, because just like water, breath is very cleansing and clearing, and some of the things I teach and work with at breath, we begin to realize that breath isn't just breath; that it has a whole lot to do. More to do with life than we realize, so you know, I helped a lot of the vets with that, and listened to the stories and watched them release a lot of emotional things in those ways, to where at the end they were able to let go of some of the guilt and trauma, and even find ways to deal with the dreams and stuff, to where
mm-hmm.
they could begin to forgive themselves as well as forgive others, so they begin to love themselves again. And it all comes back to that same point, because in a war and whatever traumatic situations we go through to develop PTSD, whether it's a social situation as we're growing up or whether it's in war, it's all a type of warfare when we have emotional and mental trauma. And it all comes back to the same point that we get locked in emotionally, we get locked in magnetically in our atmosphere, with these things, and what it comes down to is seeing ourselves as being not worthy, or holding guilt, or holding some type of anger or vengefulness about something. And, you know, the longer we hold these things, the more of a poison it becomes to us.
Yes.
And so it's really good to watch a lot of these and women, too, because I work with a lot of women vets, too. A lot of people don't realize how many vets women are in there and the things they go through. But
mm-hmm.
but what made the situation all so unique was we weren't just working with the vets. We worked with their spouses also.
Yeah.
We bring both of them, because PTSD isn't just a single thing. It affects the whole family. So we work with the spouse and the veteran themselves so they can, you know, be freed of these afflictions and stuff, and learn how to work together and create their own support group around themselves and things like that.
Excellent.
So that's the way you have to have programs, is because it affects the whole family. It doesn't just affect the one person.
It affects the whole city. You know, it can. It can affect the entire city you live in. I mean.
Well, it's affecting this whole country right now.
Yes, it is.
In a big way.
So we got a lot of healing centers to open up, people. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Yeah. I know that, is there, David, funding for people who are serious about opening maybe a center in their town or their state or city?
There is. You contact the VA and you can find out what's available. There's one way to do it and go from there. And then there's different things you can look up online to find funding and stuff. Or different. So there's a lot of that opening up right now with all the vets coming home.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And that was the main thing I was always told whenever I talked to the different supervisors, was contact the VA close to you and see what's available there and start from there. And then, you know, and then they can send you packets on how to become affiliated to start your own programs, because they got rules and regulations on how all that stuff works.
Right. So, like, those people who are sitting there you know, and they know they're supposed to make a difference. They're ready. They're like, point me to the water hole. I need a drink.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. And
so
they might be looking.
Start,
you know,
there. Yeah. They could start at their local veterans.
Right. And they can tell you what credentials you have to have and how to go about doing things.
Right. Awesome. Excellent. Well, people that are trying to manifest a job for yourself, there you go. What a dream job. You know, you can use your gifts and your talents and your experience on this in this life to help other people that welcome your help, welcome your wisdom.
Right.
I mean, we all do have wisdom, you know. We don't have to talk to trees to get it, but we've all got wisdom of the fashion. Yeah, it does.
I've talked to many a tree.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Okay, cool. So, you do work with, like, local existing people through metaphysical, like, local metaphysical shop. And David, do you also do speaking engagements or in-person engagements, I guess I should say, someone's having a seminar?
I do stuff like that.
Yeah, if they're having a seminar in their town and they want you to come, then you'd be open to that.
Yeah, I have a few different subjects that I talk on.
Okay, cool. All right, well.
Metaphysical stuff and, yeah. And so I do stuff like that, and I teach different classes, and I travel and do things. I don't know how much more time you have.
13 minutes.
Okay, well, I've got this one, just, we're talking about trees. I have advice from a tree.
Oh.
Okay? This is advice from a tree. Okay? And it's from a friend of mine. Came up with it. They're from Colorado. And their name is Island Shamir. And anyway, it's you want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's advice from a tree. And it says, stand tall and be proud. Sink your roots deeply into the earth. Reflect the light of your own true nature. Think long term. Go out on a limb. Remember your place among all living beings. Embrace with joy the changing seasons. For each yield its own abundance. The energy and birth of spring, the growth and contentment of summer, the wisdom to let go like leaves in the fall, the rest and quiet renewal of winter. Feel the wind and the sun and delight in their presence. Look up at the moon that shines down upon you. And the mystery of the stars at night. Seek nourishment from good things in life. Simple pleasures, earth, fresh air, and light. Be content with your natural beauty. Drink plenty of water. Let your limbs sway and dance in the breezes. Be flexible. Remember your roots. Enjoy the view. This is advice from a tree. Stand tall and be proud.
Wow.
So there we have it.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that, but I'm still learning to read, believe it or not. You know, we were talking earlier about being out there. I'm in a fortunate place where I am taken care of. You know, I take good care of myself and my daughter. We take care of each other. You know, and it's like sometimes I am way, way out there, and I don't know until I get to the grocery store, you know, I don't know. And just hearing someone say that in the tone of breath that you said it is a very empowering thing. And we have another caller. Hold on. Hello, 814.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you? What's your name?
My name is Shannon. I'm a little frustrated. I have quite a lot of things going on, and you know, I find myself really walking in the spirit world and really not being on this earth plane a lot. I mean, I'm definitely walking in both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically really would like to know what's really going on, if there's like anything that I'm creating or have unfinished business of my soul that I would like to be able to learn those lessons to move forward, because I have a lot of things holding up my life right now, and I'm tired of fighting.
Mm.
Does that make any sense?
Oh yeah.
I'm really tired of fighting, and there's so many blocks and so many things that I need to be doing with my life.
Mm-hmm. Are you
ready to move forward? It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. Tomorrow morning is trial. I'm supposed to have my paperwork done. And I've kind of been in a pretty much a big, huge trance today where I'm just
What are
fear.
You afraid of? What are you afraid of right now? I definitely
what
sense
am I,
some fear. Yeah, what are you afraid of?
Well, this trial affects my life. It affects my children's lives. It affects my career in law enforcement.
Mm.
It's huge. It's not just a small little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you're taking the first step already.
Okay.
The thing will open up for you just by admitting that and saying, I'm tired of this. I'm ready to move on. That starts the action right there.
I have been tired of it. I've had a lot of negative things happen to me at home. And basically, I feel, quite honestly, like I'm being punished for making a mistake that I definitely should not have came back to Pennsylvania whatsoever. I feel like I walked right into hell. And
where do you want to be?
I want to be back out west, you know. I want to be back home. To me, home is sitting on the plains and being in contact with my ancestors and to help teach others the wisdom and the spirituality and to work in my law enforcement field and raise my children. And, you know, I'm a way shower.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has just been stopped to the point that I've considered giving up the fight, and then I'll give up the fight for my life for a couple days, and then it's like, no, I can't do it. You know, that's not me. I've never given up on anything. I can't take anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's really ripping me apart and tearing me down. And this trial, if I'm found guilty, I'm even more prolonged in my life of where I need to do and what I need to do for spirit. I can't understand why all of this is going on. I mean, yes, I have created something, but not all of it.
Are the charges against you, hon?
Yes.
Okay. I need you to take a big breath. You're definitely being tested. You've remembered everything you need to remember. You've done everything that you need to do, less the paperwork. And I'm speaking spiritually and emotionally. You need to be brutally honest with yourself about where your allegiance lies and why. Because it's okay to change your mind. It is okay to say, I accept this responsibility. You know, I will always be this person in these other people's lives. They will view this situation. They will view it the way that they choose to. But I'm going to choose this. And then that's where you decide what's best for you at this point. I just see, like, you definitely got some self stuff going on there, but you definitely got a lot of outside stuff coming at you, definitely. And you got to trust. You got to trust you, and you got to trust your guides.
Well, what I get is that I need to get out of this town. I need to.
You need to come home.
I do.
Yeah.
And I know it's
okay to walk away.
If
you're walking away from your children, you're not really walking away from them. You are allowing them to fulfill their mission on Earth, period. Okay? You're a light worker. You understand that. Your responsibility is you, because nothing else is going to work if you don't take care of you.
And
you might
exactly
have to
geographically
relocate, backtrack, or whatever you feel you need to do. And then draw those things when it's healthy, when it's safe, when it's sane. And you can see and you can breathe again and your chakras are open and not got this brown, ooey-gooey stuff around them is what I see. Just, you know, what's more important, the life or the lie?
Well, that's what I did. I left and took care of myself and I came back to get my children. And when I came back to get my children, that's when all hell broke loose. And
well, of course it did. Yeah.
And I'm being punished for doing just that.
David, let's hear from David for a second. David, that's that word, that punished.
Well, I don't believe we're getting punished and stuff. It may seem like that. It just keeps, that's why I'm just blowing. It just keeps coming to me. Just breathe and blow it all away. Let it go and do what you need to be doing. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. None of that other stuff that you're worried about would be going on.
It's all taking you away from focus.
Yeah, exactly. It's none of it's going to matter if you're not having permission to be you, giving yourself the ability to breathe and keep yourself in alignment. Does that make sense to you, honey?
Yes, it does. And you're right. There's been so many outside distractions. It's just been one thing after another. It's like, oh my gosh. Okay, enough. I'm still focused here. I want to go. I got to get past this thing tomorrow. And I feel like I need to just be cut free and just like, okay, not guilty, go on your way. And I'm not guilty. That's the thing. I'm not guilty. And all this is doing is prolonging me in my life and my children's life. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Do you want your children with you? I know that's a very personal question. You do not have to answer it on the air, but you need to make that decision.
Yes, I do. I have fought so hard to get my children. I came back, and 2 months after I came back, they took my child away from me, and I just, like, been fighting, finally got them back. And they're saying that what I'm doing is not good enough. I'm like, what more can one person do? I'm doing absolutely everything that I'm supposed to be doing according to them, but I'm not doing anything that I want to do because I'm prolonged by this court.
And I can hear in your breath, and I could see the colors that are coming out of your soul. I could see them in your breath, and they're not matching your words, sweetheart. They're just not matching your words. So you are definitely allowing too much outside interference. And it could either, you know, it could be part of your belief system that's causing it. I mean, you need to, like, really seriously just get down and dirty with yourself and get down and dirty with yourself and be real with yourself, because you have the answers. You seriously do. And I think you're just afraid of that what if this happens or what if that happens. So, you know, guilt and fear are not your friends. All right?
All right. Well, that's what I'm worried about, is this trial tomorrow morning. You know, I really am worried about it, and I feel that it does hold me up.
Mm-hmm.
And it has. It has held my life up for 2 years, and these people in this area are not nice. This is not where I'm supposed to be, and it drives me nuts every day. It kills me. It's literally ripping me apart. This place is not an energetic match whatsoever. This is not where I need to be.
Yeah.
So if court's cleared tomorrow, you can leave?
Yes, I can. I have a job offer somewhere else. It's in a different part of Pennsylvania, and that would get me to where I can get able to move out. I have a job opportunity right where I am, but
I don't know what part of the West you want to go to, sweetheart, but, you know, we're screaming for law enforcement in the state of Arizona, so you might want to Google that.
That's where I want to go, and if I get found guilty, I will never have it. And my $90,000 career in education is down the drain. I mean, really, this has held me up from doing Ranger Academy and finishing everything that I need to do to move forward.
Yeah. Well, we've gone into overtime on the show, so it'll be on the recording. And I've written your phone number down. If you want me to call you back, we can continue this. We can continue three-way if it's okay with David, if you like. But I'm not sure you want all this on the airwaves, because these live recordings, they get recorded and they go up, and the general public can get to them.
You know what?
Yeah.
I will expose. I don't have anything to hide, so
all
I'm
right.
not too worried
well,
about
I was
it.
Just try to be sensitive to your needs,
but,
and just being respectful.
Well, thank you for that. I would love to continue this. I would love to get past this and move forward with my life. I mean, really, it's the utmost importance. It's just get on with it.
All
enough
right.
is enough. Enough is enough.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more power in the words that you're saying than you're giving yourself credit for. And maybe we should just hang up, and you should just continue to repeat that and integrate it into your breath and control your own breathing. I mean, be nice to yourself, okay? Get a hold of yourself. Be nice to yourself. You know the drill. You've been through this before. Maybe not the circumstances, but you've been in the hot seat before, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you need to regulate your breath. Maybe get some sage out if you do that. It's not important if you don't, you know. If you want, I can call you back, but it's going to take me about 30 minutes to get ready to connect.
That would be great, and I would absolutely love it and be extremely grateful.
All right, hon.
I would appreciate it very much.
All right. Okay, well, I'm gonna end this show now. I love you, everybody. David, thank you so much for your words of wisdom. And do you have anything else to say to this young lady before I close the show?
She'll be fine. She just needs to blow it away and keep focused.
Yeah, just
pray.
Blow it out. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, yeah. Well, I thank you for helping us to understand and see and speak and love and do and feel and be, or not be, David.
Indeed.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
And Sarah, I'll get a hold of you, sister.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Goodbye.